Hello, friends. Grace, greetings, and welcome to another Deeper Daily Podcast. This one's for the 23rd of July, and I hope that you are blessed, that you are prospering, that you're walking in the favor of God. You are in our prayers, as I know we're in so many of yours. It's been good to hear from so many of you who are encouraging us in this time of our journey and transition across the country. As you're listening to this podcast, if all goes according to schedule, we will be nearly to Missouri, where we're going to stop for about a week and spend some time in just with family, friends, and a couple ministry stops we told you about a few days ago. And covet your prayers as we move forward, and then this transition continues into next week as we make our stop finally at our new home in Flowery Branch, Georgia. You can check our website if you'd like the new mailing address. We have that posted now on the homepage. If you send letters or checks through the mail, we appreciate if you would switch over to the Georgia address. However, as we said a few days ago, the California post office box will still be active through the end of the year, and they will forward us the mail from those boxes. We also have someone there that will be checking that just in case something gets lost, sort of slips between the cracks. So appreciate what you do. So many have asked us, what is the best way to give? That is the, we take the least hit, because as you know, in the digital world, there is a bit of a fee when you give online, and it's marginal either way. We do take credit card through our store. You can do recurring donations or one-time donations, and we also do it through PayPal. Both of those cost us. The store costs us based upon how much we do, and PayPal takes a percentage every time someone gives regardless. And so either way, we're going to spend a little bit there. We really just say whatever's easiest for you, what's most convenient for you as the giver. We track your donations. They are tax deductible, and we get that receipt to you at the end of the year. All right, enough of the intro stuff. From time to time, I like to give you a little bit of that, but for today, I want to close out the 13th verse of 1 Peter 1. We've been working on this verse for a few days now, and there's so many good things to break down in this verse, and this final portion deserves a day, if for no other reason than to get us as Bible students to do a little digging, a little investigating as to what Peter might have meant for his audience and what he might have meant for us. Let's read it, and then I think we'll see where we're going. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober, and rest hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I think you must deal with the early church's version of eschatology. And if you don't deal with it, then you're not being true to the contextual writing or reading, because they were speaking to an audience. When Jesus is questioned by his disciples in Matthew 24 about the sign of the time, the end of the age, and sign of his coming, he does not speak past them to a generation, a couple millennium in the future, but rather he says these things will not, this generation won't pass away till these things are fulfilled. So he must have meant what I just said to you will happen to you. Otherwise, why did you ask and why would I answer if it were for someone else? You keep that in mind as you study the New Testament. It will cause you to have questions. Don't be surprised if you walk away from some of these scriptures going, well, what in the world does that mean then if that has already happened? What's that mean for my future? That's good when you start asking those questions and you're being true to the text and you're not just accepting a version of events that has been passed along to you. You're actually doing the work. So here's an example. We're not yet to the 20th verse, but we're obviously on our way, and the 13th verse lies within the context of the 20th. Listen to the 20th verse of 1 Peter 1. And I'm not going to cover this entirely today. We'll save it for its time. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. In these last times. Now, some might take that verse and say, well, Peter means in recent events. But if you take it in the greater context of the New Testament, in which Paul and John, these others are writing of the end of the age, then you have to at least acknowledge that they were talking about an end time event, and not an end of time, but the end of the time of a certain thing. And I think it will help is as you study the end time statements of the New Testament, Stop thinking of them in terms of end of the world events and start thinking of them in terms of the end of an era, or the end of their world, or the end of an age, or the end of the world as we know it. And when you do that, I think you'll start to become true to the way they were writing and the way they were thinking. So whenever Peter in verse 13 says, the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, I think he is talking about the appearance of Christ that Jesus promised his disciples in Matthew 24, where he rides on a cloud and comes in judgment against the system. This is what Luke would call the days of vengeance. I don't think that's in your future. I think that's in your past. I think it was in Peter's audience's future. And I think that will help with the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, what might he have meant for us? Well, I don't think he was writing for us, but that doesn't mean it's not for us. It doesn't mean it's not relevant, because I think we should take very serious the 10th, 11th, and 12th verses. Just as he says, gird up the loins of your mind, we should gird ours up. We should face it watchfully and awake. We should rest hopefully on the grace that's brought to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Why would we not? How can we not? Of course we should. But what might that revelation of Christ mean for us? Well, there's a constant unveiling of Jesus in our lives. There's a constant unveiling of him in our day-to-day walk, in our revelation as we study the Word. So for us, it could be that grace comes as we have Christ revealed to us. As Christ is unveiled, grace is simultaneously unveiled. We can rest our hope fully on the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Every time you have a revelation of Christ, you'll have a revelation of his grace. A revelation of Christ will not lead you to a revelation of his judgment. Your judgment for sin is in his cross. So a revelation of Christ will take you to that cross and to his resurrection, and grace is soon to follow. Peter takes his audience in verse 14 into this obedient children mode. And this needs to be dealt with through the lens of grace. And we'll try to do that starting tomorrow. We'll see you then. God bless.